Hello, welcome to Holden Village. Today is Tuesday, the 27th of June, year 2000. We are in the VC this afternoon for our session with Jan Hughes, entitled Discovering Your Secret Self, the Inferior Function in Jungian Psychological Types. The session number is HUJ2000-1. Let's listen in.
Workshop. She is just one of the best authors about psychological time. And this is her book on the inferior function. And there's just a little skinny part at the beginning that talks about the inferior function, and the rest are about the individual types. You know, where you can look yourself up and you can look up everybody you know, and you can look at all their different types. So just want to say that. I'm going to go ahead. Is it time to get started?
This clock right there.
Super. I'm not going to wait for the big one. Y'all, I'm going to stay right out from the beginning. Even though I have presented two times at the Association for Psychological Type, I'm more nervous about Holden. Is that the craziest thing you ever heard? And I was trying to, you know, figure out what's that all about. And I, well, first of all, this is a very high IQ place. There's no doubt. The workshops that I've been to, it's like, these people are smart. And all of you. But secondly, I think my anxiety is because I've got, I'm going to go deep into psychological type in 1 hour. And I could probably have come and done four whole sessions on the inferior function. And maybe I should have. Many people that train the MBTI have said, as we all talked about that, that maybe when we present on the Myers-Briggs type indicator, let me start here. How many of you are familiar with the Myers-Briggs? Okay, excellent. And we have two people back here going, what are you talking about? That's okay. That was part of my anxiety today, is that I was going to have all these different levels, you know, with people that would be very sophisticated with the Myers-Briggs. So what I'm going to do first, for those two of you that don't know anything about it, and those of you who may not remember everything you used to know, we're going to very quickly go over it. Anyway, there are some who train type that think that you should only stick with, this is your function.
Oh.
This is why I need you so bad. Go ahead, and one more, and then you can put this back in there. For those of you who do not know the Myers-Briggs, Catherine Briggs and her daughter, Elizabeth Briggs Myers, developed a personality type system, a questionnaire that we call the MBTI, the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator, based on Jung's theory of personality. And what we get when you take it is four kind of opposites of letters. So when you hear people talking about, I'm an INFP or I'm an ESTJ, that is the Myers-Briggs. And many people who train think we should do a whole hour just on that one, and a whole hour just on this one, because it is so rich and so wonderful to talk about. But no, you're going to get about 20 minutes on all four, and then we're going to talk about the inferior function. So are you ready for that? One thing that I wanted to say to you all is that I wanted you to covenant with me, and I'm really pleased this is a small group, because I'm already getting less worried. Sometimes, as deeply as we're going to be going here, people are stirred up at workshops. People may get stirred up at workshops and not have any way to process it. I met a man one time whose MBTI was misscored, and he lived for several years wondering what was wrong with him, because what the person had told him did not fit. And it was a terrible thing. And it was like when he took it again and it was scored properly, he was exhaled. It was like, yes, I'm okay. And I don't want that to happen to anybody here. So, if anything that I talk about today, or in my dream work tomorrow, or in any other workshop that I do here, if anything stirs you up and you're kind of confused, or you're not sure you got it straight, I want you to covenant that you'll talk to me about that, all right? Because I shouldn't even be doing this if we cannot make sure that you have got a solid and proper interpretation. So would you promise to do that with me? And you can catch me after, but you can catch me anywhere, because I'm certainly walking around just like y'all are. All right. So having said that, we're going to go ahead and do this. What you have in your handouts are a two-page article that I wrote called Type in Brief. And I've been using this for many years, but the percentages you see on the title lines that underline, are the latest norms. They're the 2000 norms that have just come out. Normally, this handout goes with an hour and a half presentation, at which time I go over each pair of opposites and tell a lot of funny stories about, you know, illustrate, you know, what those things are. I'm going to mix the stories today so that we can move on into the inferior function. Now, your next handout, and we will go over that momentarily, is a little screening tool. And this is the piece that why I want to say that about the disclaimer. This is not the MBTI. This is just a little screening tool, and it's kind of fun to do, and you can do it very quickly. And if you are not sure about your type, some of you walk into this room and you know, I am an introvert, you know who you are. If you're not, just go ahead and do that really quickly if you'd like to. Don't have to. You can do it later if you like. But let me just take a vote on that. Do y'all feel like doing that right now? How many people would like to take the little, let's do it. We're going to take 10 minutes. 5 minutes. That's why I wrote it. Because it's a little quick screen and it gives us a place to start talking about. You need one? Oh, you need. Yes, I've got my crayons.
Oh, this is fine. Crayons would be appropriate.
Do you need some money? Well, just help yourself. It's going to be a very informal conversation. I have crayons for my creativity workshop that I bought in case you need it. So. If you ever wanted to take that. There's all kinds of ways to do this. But for today, I'm going to go ahead and move on because we really don't have that much time. I want to tell you what to do with this form on your and then that's okay if you're still typing it, your friend can help you. Add up the total that you circled under each column. Did you already do that? Okay. If your greater number was on the left-hand side of this first section, that is introvert. Right eye, introvert at the top. Anyone on the right hand side is extrovert. If it's equal, then you're just going to have to think about it a lot more. That's perfectly okay, but it's not going to help you find yourself in one of these little, grid things up here. But that's all right. You just know that you're kind of split on that. Actually, in this part, we're not going to work with much today. Okay, on the next one, the next section below, if you're on the left-hand side, that is, go ahead and write it, sensation. Sensation. We're going to talk about what all this means really quickly. And if you're on the right-hand side, that's intuition. Tell me if I get these mixed up, Paul, because I was trying to be tricky how I did this.
Did that used to be called something else other than sensation?
No. Sensation. And intuition is represented by in, because the I already got the I. The introvert got the I. So you use an in, but it's intuition, okay? And now, on page 2, if you're on the left-hand side, well, you can write it down, everybody should write it down anyway. Thinking versus feeling. And then at the bottom, if you're on the left-hand side, this is judging and perceiving. Actually, you could say judgment and perception. Judging, J and P, judging and perceiving. Now that we have done that, I want you to do this for me. Write your name somewhere on this piece of paper, just the way you ordinarily do it.
With your crayon?
Yeah, with your crayon. Turn it around, write it anywhere you want. Just write your name for me on the paper. Are you cooperating? Now, put your whatever it is, pen or crayon, in the other hand, and write your name again. Now you're laughing. What do you notice?
It's tough as hell.
It's tough.
You have to concentrate.
You have to concentrate a whole lot.
And it doesn't look good.
It's not a good product. It doesn't look as good, does it? Every now and then, there's one person in my crowd that's ambidextrous, and it's just perfect. Otherwise, I'm just honestly not in here today. Okay. It's not as good a product. It's hard to do. It takes more time to concentrate. You're slower? Are you slower?
Mm-hmm.
One person pointed out to me that it looks perhaps like a child. Right. You know, it's like a... Okay. The point of this little exercise is to say to you that the letters that show, the letters that won, when you added up which one was more, they're like writing with your dominant hand. You feel good when you do it. It's a good product. You do it fast. You can write your name without even thinking about it. It's great. Then the letters that don't show. Okay. We're going to, for the sake of just making it simple, if the letters, when you look at who won on your four little sections, are ESTJ, these are the letters that show, okay? That's your very best. Those are your gifts. These letters right here would be your less preferred side of you. But people, we all have it all. We all have all eight of this. We all do all of these things. We all have it. But we're better at the ones that show in the Myers-Briggs. And the ones that don't show, some people call it very simplified. This workshop's made very simplified. They say that's your shadow. The letters you didn't prefer are that part of you that you did not wish to be. You got very good at the letters that show. Now, you're tired, people. You're just going to have to think about this more, you know? You're just going to have to continue. Were you tired on every letter?
No.
Okay, just one more. Or was it you?
It wasn't
you. Okay. Oh, see. We can talk about it some more later if you want to. I just wanted to point this out to you. We all have it all. It's just that we got better at doing things by using our best. Gary Harbaugh wrote a book called God's Gifted People. Have y'all seen that one? He called this our gifts. When we have to use the functions that show, those are our gifts. These are our skills. And I like that very much. Because if you are called upon, if you have an F and you're a feeling type, you can use your logical thinking function. But it's not going to be your best. It's going to take more time. You're going to have to concentrate about it harder. It can be a skill. Okay, that's just basic type training. Got it?
Yeah.
If you have any questions, say, what do you mean by that? Okay, I want you to do that. Okay. Let's go over the handout really quick about type and breathe at this point. This you can look at later, as you continue to explore which is more like you. Extroversion versus introversion. These on your handouts, these percentages are the latest norms of the U.S. population. It used to be taught that the U.S. population was 75% extroverted and 25% introverted. Some people are nodding. It's like, yeah, that's what I heard. As people have continued taking the Myers-Briggs, they have found out, guess what, it's almost 50-50, which should be a big relief to all of you introverted people. So you're wondering, where are they? Basically, as you can see, I wrote, this is an energy issue. We often think of extroverts and introverts. Introverts are shy, they're not as outgoing, and all those things. Well, actually, that may be true. But there are many introverts who can look outgoing and extroverted as much as anybody else. Extroverts charge their batteries in interaction with the external world. Their energy flows out, and they build in that way. Introverted people, the energy direction is into their internal world. For an introverted person, their internal world is the truest world. So much so that many introverts say when they are in this place where they have to talk to a lot of people, they feel like they're even acting. Does any of you relate to that? It feels like an act that they have to do, and they go home exhausted. I have so many stories I love to tell about this, and it's really tempting to tell them, but we don't have time. So we should have a talking type thing up in the art there and tell these kind of amusing stories. The E and the I is what Jung called an attitude. It's not one of the four functions, and it's an attitude. It's about the energy flow, whether it goes out into the world or internal to you. And we're not going to talk about that much today.
It's not that it isn't involved in the inferior function, but we just can't talk about it that deeply. The next two, would you put this up to me? Thank you.
Blank.
It's not into college, go ahead.
It's underneath.
Flipping sheets.
Thank you so much. That's right. He got his doctorate, so he could come here and flip my pages, you know?
This is my Vanna White job here.
That's what he said. He said, I'll be your Vanna White.
Vanna's better at this, I must say.
Yeah. All right.
The next letter that we're going to talk about are what Jung called the functions. And you can see the four functions identified by Jung. I even set them off that way. The first one, sensation versus intuition, and there's still rather a split on this. Sensing types tend to be 73% of the U.S. population still. Okay. Sensation refers to people who prefer their five senses. I am talking, touching, tasting, smelling, seeing. Yeah, the five senses, right? Mm-hmm. Trust their experience, trust facts, you know, grounded people. The 27% of the population that is intuitive walk into a room, okay, they'll start there, you know, see the room, but immediately they're off. They're off into possibilities, you know, in associations, some kind of connection of the bigger picture. These are the people that see the forest and not the trees. And I want to say, Mark, when I did Dish Team with you, those interesting many hours that we were in there, you gave me the assignment of sorting the spoons. That was so hard for me, y'all. It was like, I was just almost panicked because the spoons all looked alike to me. It was very hard for me. I'm writing with my non-dominant hand, looking at, this is a soup spoon. I know that could sound dumb, but I am practically crippled. It's my problem in sensation. I am such an intuitive. And you know, I've reflected on this, y'all. I didn't get glasses till I was 8 years old, and I was extremely too nearsighted. And I think that might have contributed to the fact that I developed intuition so much, because I couldn't see, and now my hearing's going too. You know, so it's a good thing. I've got something. Because with sensation or intuition, we take in the world, okay? We perceive the world. Notice and take our data from the world. So this is very hard to see what people are because they're doing this internally. It's just a perception function, okay? Okay, now the next two letters, thinking and feeling, are pretty well evenly divided. It looks like feeling is winning at this time, doesn't it? 48-52. Okay, after you take in the world, there's just no judgment about it, you just take it in. Then you decide about this information. And the thinking and feeling functions are decisive functions. Myers called it judging. You judge it, you make a judgment about the information that you received with either sensing or intuition. I would have called it deciding. Judging sounds too judgmental to me. I would have called it deciding, because you decide about that. You evaluate that information. Good analogy for you, I hope, is you go to a restaurant. The steak comes that you ordered, and you look at it. You see it on the plate. You perceive it. You look at the steak. There it is. And then what? You decide. Just like I like it. That's a judging function. I like it. Mm-hmm. Or it's bad. Send it back. Do you see the difference between perceiving the steak and then deciding about it? Those are the four functions. Now, the last two letters, we'll go ahead and finish this up, on the Myers-Briggs, is judgment, 54% versus perception. And this is a very important piece. I'm sorry. I keep flipping back and forth. I wanted a dry erase board, okay? So we're doing the best we can. I want the one that shows judging and deceiving. Must be the USA. Now written all over, it's really hard to see. But these ST and NF are the functions. And then you have J and P. I've said on this handout for you that it's a lifestyle issue. How do you live it out? Judging types, decisive types of people, are orderly, planful. They're more comfortable after a decision. Now, you may have somebody in your family, which our entire family is perceptive, y'all, all six of us. It's not pretty. We are a type of family that the P means that we enjoy noticing the world. We're always taking in new information. Nobody decides much. So things like calendars, we're always being surprised by things that should have been organized. You know, our house is kind of like always in spontaneous motion, it seems like. And I have to be the judging type in our family. I don't do it very well. Do you see what I'm saying? Perceptive types are so into seeing the world. Here's an example. I go to my closet, I hang up my skirt. I don't look like my mother does. For, oh, here are the skirts, and here are the blue skirts, and here are the yellow skirts. You know, my mother is a very much of a judging type. I just stick it up there. So pretty soon, the closet is in chaos. That's a perceptive type. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We can relate to this, right?
That was the one, of course, if you noticed, that said, I'm sometimes surprised by what I find in my door. Those of you who are perceptives can relate to that. This is the basic type presentation, just to tell you what these things are. And all of these together on your sheet that I gave you, add up. Can you see? I know it's hard to see. That the letters are all up there. After the workshop, we'll leave it up. And if you want to write down the letters that showed, the ones that won in your quizzes, go look and see if that paragraph sounds like you. If you took the real Myers-Briggs, they would say, go look and see if the paragraph sounds like you. Because as we were talking, 25% of people do not agree with what the Myers-Briggs comes up. They say, no, that's not me. 25%, that's a fourth. So you still have to verify your type, okay? Are we all okay with this?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the end of basic type. And does everybody kind of have an idea about what your type is? Mm-hmm. All right, because we're gonna go much, much deeper. And now, I'm gonna put back here, and then do this. Carl Jung. Carl Jung was a psychologist back with Freud in Freud's time, and for a while they worked together, but they had a split. Very interesting stories related to that. But Freud, who we've all heard of, thought that there was a force driving human beings either toward sexual, you know, we all know Freud and sex, right? Sexual or toward death. That was Freud's vision. Jung thought not. He thought that people are driven toward wholeness, that in the course of our lives, we become more, if we're healthy, the complete people that God meant us to be. I might mention to you that Jung was the son of a Lutheran minister, which I found very interesting, and that grace piece might have been a part of his development of this. Jung called this process of how we grow and become whole, individuation, individuation, integrity, wholeness, okay? That would mean that in the course of our entire lives that we develop these different functions we were talking about. First one, then another, and then another. Now, this is about to be such a mess, okay? Let's go back to this one. Those four functions, those letters in the middle, those two letters right smack in the middle of your type, are S, N, T, and F are the possibilities. Jung said that one of these is going to be your very best function. One will be your very best. Then you will have developed another one that he called the auxiliary that helps the very best. Now, those are the two letters that show. You know, you will have an NF, NT, SF. Are you with me on this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So one will be your dominant. One will be your auxiliary. You can even have a third function, a third, the tertiary, that's a little unconscious. It's not your best, but you can still do it okay. But Jung says there will be one that you cannot have in a conscious way. There is one. Marie von Franz drew it like this. She had a thing in space like this. S, N, F, let's say. She said one falls down. One falls down if there's a plane of consciousness into the unconscious. And you can't develop it wholly. You can't have it. And that is your inferior function. Okay, I'm going to help you out here. Here's a little help. Could you get the handout, type development?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I couldn't copy this one for you because it's copyrighted, but this one's mine. You can use it. And I put them in the same order as they are up there. I got to tell you, though, I noticed this poor INFJ is missing its eye on the top row. So you can put an eye on the poor little INFJ that lost his eye on the top row. I was so proud of this handout. I thought, finally, I did something with my very inferior sensing that was perfect. But too bad. Worked on it so hard, such a long time. If you can find yourself on here, you will see that I put the letters in the order that you probably developed them. If you have discovered your true type and you fit this theory, and don't worry if you don't, but we're going to go with it this way. It is easier for me to talk with you about my own type, which you can see evidence of even as I'm talking to you. I bet you some of you could even guess by now. I'm very extroverted. Say hi to everyone. N-F-P. Let's look at the ENFP on the chart. And you can write this down if you wish at the top. The theory says that sometime between the ages of 6 and 12, I worked, you know, you can see the ENFP. Ages 6 to 12, we get good at our very best. It's the first thing that we develop. I've done a lot of work with Elizabeth Murphy. She and Charles Meisgeier did a type for children. It's very interesting. Children under 6 are undifferentiated. They have it all. That is why we cannot trust them with major decisions. You can't leave a child under 6 alone because they are undifferentiated. They haven't developed any of their 4 functions, and they're going to do really stupid things like turn on the stove or something like that. You see what I'm saying? They're undifferentiated. They're precious little things, there's no doubt, but they haven't developed anything yet. Between 6 and 12, we start getting good at something we pick. I happen to pick intuition. You picked something else. You picked your very best.
Okay?
You
did precious.
Well, they are. But they're stupid. Children are stupid.
Compared to what we think about.
It's true.
We're not the same level as them.
I have 4. I love it. I work with children. I think children are marvelous in many ways. But they are undifferentiated in their consciousness, okay?
They call now, us stupid.
Well, and in some ways, they're absolutely right, because they know things we have forgotten. And that's my creativity workshop on session. Great. Well, we're going to remember those things. Okay, you develop your second best. I'm going to help you find yours in a moment. But your second best you develop between ages 12 to 20. Now think about that. That's adolescence. You know, you get something down pretty good, and then you kind of fine-tune. Now the tertiary, your third, and I hope you can find yourself. Are you finding yourself in this chart okay? Is see where I'm going with you? You probably began working on your third function about 20 to 35. So there are some in this room that are still working on it. Right? The interesting thing is, remember we talked about this is your inferior function, this is your very worst. You cannot bring it all the way up. Whatever is your number 4 on this list, you can work on it. Jung said the midlife experience, you know, a lot of people say midlife crisis. Midlife experience comes sometime after 35. Some people don't get there to 55. Some people get there at 30. But most people, it's going to be 35 and on, according to Jung. And that's when we can work on our inferior function. The interesting thing about this is, remember how when you wrote with your non-dominant hand, it was slow, and you had to concentrate? The beautiful thing is, when we get older, when we are 70, we are slower. We have time. That is when, in our life, we can have a spiritual time in our life where we can work and develop our inferior function. And it will never be totally integrated, but we can work to bring it up. Isn't that kind of beautiful? I like that, you know? I can work on my sensation then. Okay, let me see how much time we have. I'm really worried about that. We're okay, we're on task. Okay. Any questions about this? About the chart? Not so far,
What about, testing out differently over the years, like I've taken this over, 10, 12 years or more, and it seems like one will kind of rise and one will fall.
Indeed. And that is why I like this, what we're talking about very much. Our son test INFP, like Paul, and Paul is a real INFP, but his dominant function, there is no doubt about it. The boy is like me. He has no sensation. I mean, he is 16. He told me I could say this. I have the release to tell you. He gets lost walking 1 mile home to our house. The boy has no sensation. This means that his dominant, this means truly, this child that tests INFP is an INFJ. And I'll show you why in just a minute. But what I'm saying to you is, if you can develop 1, 2, 3, you see what I'm saying? And in different situations, in this growth process through your life, you're still a young man. You're still developing, you see? But I'll just challenge you that there's a one you can't have. There's one that's going to be in the unconscious.
And sometimes I think that changes too with not just with development, but with self-acceptance.
Self-acceptance. If you grow up in a family where one of these functions is highly valued, in fact, one of the stories I tell in my usual one is also about Travis. When he was 8 years old, and my first family was very extroverted. And when he was 8 years old, there was one morning he wouldn't cross the street because there was a girl sitting on the corner on the other curb that might speak to him. Okay? And we were in his room. He was 8. His little sister was 6. She was out there outside the window. We were looking through a window, couldn't hear. But she was just telling everybody what. There was really taller than her, all these kids, big kids. And Caitlin was telling them, because she's extremely extroverted. And I said to Travis, look at your sister, such an extrovert. And he said, Mom, I think I'm an introvert. And I said, oh, yeah? I mean, like, he went across the street this morning, you know what I mean? Really? He said, Mom, I lied on the test. It was like, Travis, the test is okay. I told you, no right, no wrong. You know, the Murphy Moscow. He said, I wanted to be an extrovert so bad. So you get that. I mean, we didn't even tell him he had to be an extrovert, you know? But our family was. So there are times when you find yourself, if something was valued or whatever, and those of you that are tied, that's okay. You know, continue exploring. That's what life is for. Okay? So that's a very good point then. I find when, as a manager, I have managed in social agencies, I get more thinking. You have to. What does the organization want? You know, that's what they want, so I bring that part of me up. But they can't get me to have any sensing. And everybody finds that out real quick.
All right, I'm a little confused about how you decide the two center ones are your dominant ones?
No. And here's what I'm going to go there right now. Let me see if this helps. Let's just go a little further and we'll see if this helps. Because this, I got to say to you, this took me a while to get. This is like the key thing I'm going to say to you today, and it took me a little while to get. So if you don't get it right away, that's okay. Read Naomi Quink. Here she is. Naomi Quink, Q-U-E-N-K, beside ourselves. Because she says it really good. Okay. Extroverts, like whatever their functions are, if there's an E in the front and a P on the end, or a J, this is an extrovert, okay, it doesn't matter. This function tells you which is the dominant on an extrovert. How many extroverts do I have in this room? This is a Lutheran crowd, there's no doubt about it. Really about five of us.
Tell them every presentation we've done in front of Lutherans is dominated by introverts.
Absolutely.
It's an introverted
thing. I mean,
faith.
You never figure that out in worship. Have you ever figured that out? It's like everyone's just sitting there, you know? You know, the internal experience of the Lutherans. Okay, if you're an extrovert, so those extroverts clue in. If you got a P on the end, your dominant is going to be whatever you have right here, whether it's S or N. With extroverts, see, these letters are saying, how do you meet the world? What function do you extrovert? And with we extroverts, honey, what you see is what you get. We're right here. So for me, I have a P on the end. This is mine. Now, people with that story, I don't know about the extroverts in this room. Anybody J on the end? For you, it's saying, this is my dominant. Is it feeling or thinking for you, if you don't mind
thinking.
Sharing? Is this what?
Thinking.
Thinking. Your dominant function is extroverted thinking. That's your best. You're a logical woman. And you figure out what needs to be done out there in the world. It's a beautiful thing. What you see is what you get. And this last letter on an extrovert refers back. So you see, do you understand this? The judging says, how do you make decisions with thinking or feeling? The P says, how do you proceed with sensing or intuition, okay? Okay, introverts. There is a joke that says, you know, with introverts, they don't care enough to send the very best. Because the very best for an introvert is the internal world. Introverts hold it inside. I'm going to use you for an example. You don't mind.
I guess that's okay.
Paul is an INFP. Now, it's the opposite with them. Introverts keep their very best internal. So what the last letter is going to say about Paul is this is what he meets the world with. Paul looks to the world like an intuitive. He looks that gut. But Paul's dominant function is feeling. You see what I'm saying? Introverts have to reverse it. Introverts have to say, okay, because what this last letter is going to show an introvert is their auxiliary. It's going to say the auxiliary and the other one will be their very best. I'm telling you, I didn't get it. It took me a while. But if you think about it, introverted people are going to hold because they're introverted. Their inner world, the energy is inside. They're going to meet the world with their second best. And this is showing what you meet the world with. So my husband is a dominant feeling type. That's what I was talking about Travis. Travis, remember, he was an ENFP like Paul? But this, his sensation is so bad, y'all. He gets lost walking a mile. I know his dominant is intuition. And that means that really, he's an INFJ. Do you understand what I'm saying? I know this is hard. But my son, because his dominant is clearly intuition, really isn't an INFP like Paul. Because if he were, his dominant should be feeling. I'm going to say it again. This last letter says, what do you meet the world with? And with extroverts, everything is so meeting the world, we just refer right back to our dominant. But if you're an introvert, okay, you look at your chart. Let me make it where it's easy to access. If you're an introvert, look at your chart and you will see, because I wrote it down for you that way, what your dominant is. So if you can't get it this way, that's okay. Those of you who can get it, good. But if you can't get this way to check out of people, you can always refer back to the chart. Let me stop and ask you now, does it resonate for you when you look at this? Do you say to yourself, that's my type and that's my best and that's my second best? Do you know what I'm saying? Is that okay? We're doing really good because we're now getting
What do you mean by those forward possibilities, people, logic, right?
I'm referring back, if you just read the paragraph in Type and Brave, for sensing types, what did I write? I was trying to pick one word that would fit. I was trying to make a handout, you know what I mean? That would just zoom you right in. Facts.
Concrete data.
Concrete things that the five senses bring to you is what a sensing person would think. Now, intuition would be possibilities, would be associations, would be the interconnections. You know, I could have put down a whole lot of words, which you can read in the paragraph that talks about intuitives. Thank you for the question, Franz. Thinking types value logic. You know, what's logic? What's justice? What's truth? You know, what all those things? Does that sound right? Feeling types worry about tact and harmony. It's like, how's it going to affect the people? We all have it all, but we just do it in different order according to our favorites. So I was just thinking of a way to kind of trigger you, and you can use it with the type and brief to figure it out, okay?
How do you tell which one is your shadow or whatever?
Okay. The shadow I'm going to talk about a little bit in dream work tomorrow also, because the truth about the shadow is it's an archetype. He said that the inferior function, the last function under your type, if you feel like that's a good fit, is your pathway into the unconscious. And I'm going to offer you something. It is the thing that trips you up and messes you over time and again, but it's also your pathway to the mystical. Now, Naomi Quink doesn't get into the mystical aspect. She gets into the day-to-day use of the inferior function. I have an overhead I want to put on about this. This is really good. This is as deep as we're going to go. If you were worried that it gets more complicated than this, it doesn't. Do you remember when I had you write your hand and you write your name and all that hand? You were intentionally using your non-dominant hand, very consciously using it. I can consciously use sensation. When my boss used to ask me to do a flow chart, that's sensation, guys. I mean, you have to think step one, step two, you know, flow charting. And I could do it, but I wasn't very good at it. And it took me all night long while he could doodle while we were talking. You know what I mean? That's when used consciously, our fourth function is just our least preferred function. It's the one we don't do very good. But there are times when it bubbles up on us. It's the times when you are just living your life and you fall into your inferior. Did any of you attend Paul's workshop, Fair Fighting? I was thinking, Paul, when people were talking about when not to have resolve the conflict, when we are in our inferior function, when it has welled up on us and we have fallen into it, that is not the time to finish the fight. Everybody needs to go to their corners and get better. Now, what I mean by that, I'm going to give you an example from my life because that's the best I can do. Okay, remember sensation? Remember how bad I am at that? Okay, in church many years ago, we did a thing called Children's Church. We took the children out and we did this one really fun activity, right? And I loved that. I mean, ENFP loves that stuff. You know, let's go play with the children with the crayons and everything. But this one day, I took the children out. We were doing something with glue. And y'all, all I could see was the glue. The glue was on the children. The glue was on the floor. The glue was on the chair. The glue was everywhere. And I was just like tense and like not myself. If you had an experience where you acted in a way that was not like you at all, you know, a day where you felt like, I don't know what got into me. That wasn't me at all. You had that? What was the matter with my inferior sensation had bubbled up and it wasn't pretty. When your inferior comes up like that, it's not pretty like for a dominant sensing type that is, you know, taking care of business and making sure the supplies are, you know what I'm saying? The glue was everywhere. I felt terrible. It was no fun. It was very bad. Do you see characteristics of the inferior function? This is from Naomi Queen. I had tunnel vision, glue. Forget the kids, forget the activity, glue, right? Loss of sense of humor, nothing amused me. It was the B word time, you know? And all or nothing statements, this is terrible, this is bad. The church would be mad at the glue. It's not good, all right? That is an example of when I fell into my inferior. Okay, on another day, my inferior sensation was my transcendent moment. Now, when I have taught this in churches, people don't talk about their transcendent mystical experience as much, their experiences at prayer. There was a day I was in a Bible study, and we went into the sanctuary, and we were all standing in a circle, and our pastor took, you know this pastor, Franz, he took a branch, and he was splashing us with the baptismal font, right? And we were standing around, we had a good Bible study, I was standing with people that I cared about, we were laughing, and the water was falling on my face, you know, and the water was on my hands, and there was good community and laughter, and all of a sudden, you know, these things are hard to talk about, all of a sudden the water on my hands became the love of God for me. Do you understand that? It was like just one of those mountaintop experiences, and that is inferior sensation. Do you see the laughter? The water. Can you imagine the whole presence of the room? This can happen to you too. But these two things we don't do consciously. This is when the inferior kind of comes up for us. Okay? Does that make sense? Can any of you relate to this? I have some more examples from friends of mine, and I hope I didn't misplace them. But see, this is what happens when you have no S and you do presentations. You go, where did that piece of paper go? Happens every time. My friend Charlotte was an introverted thinker, wonderful woman. We went to New Mexico to see Charlotte. And all of the house except Charlotte, there were about seven people. Charlotte thinking type. Everybody else was feeling types. Well, you know, Charlotte said about 10 o'clock, she said, I have to go to bed. I'm exhausted. There's so much feeling in this house, I can't take it anymore. I have to go to bed now. Can you relate to that at all? That there was just too much gush, gush, gush going on and eight people in the house or something like that? So Charlotte went to bed. But she told me that there was another time when her grandmother was dying. that she was there at the bedside and feeling came up for her. Now, when feeling comes up for Charlotte in her relationships, it's not pretty. She gets into these fights, you know? I mean, it's like when feeling comes up, she says, like, act terrible, act rather hysterical. You see, it's her inferior function. She doesn't handle feeling well. Do you hear me? That night when her grandmother was dying, she said she had one of those transcendent experiences. It was right. It was beautiful. It was big feeling, and it was beautiful. Do you get what I'm saying to you? Your inferior function is what's going to trip you up and mess you over. Now, I was saying to you, Jack, you don't remind me sharing with that you said you were, I think you're a dominant intuitive. Is sensing difficult for you? Because you were saying INFJ and INTJ. Has been your test before?
Well, today on the test, I'm going to be a sensor.
You turned it up being a sensor? Forget Jack. He's a bad example. Well, Kate, do you have a sense of which is your very best of those four things? Which one you really do best?
Well, to me, it's very contextual.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, to me, it depends on the context.
Mm-hmm.
And the people I'm with or the situation that I'm in, and which one is going to come to the foreground.
Interesting.
I'm a control freak, so... But I'm learning to...
To modulate that?
To accept it, because I'm working with a control freak. My boss is a control freak.
I'd love to talk to you later and figure this out. You're a very interesting study, you know what I mean? Does anybody else resonate with any of this? Has there been a time... Let me tell you, when are we at risk of falling into our inferior function? Naomi Quink gives you these type descriptions, and she says, what's at risk for your type personally, you know, in this book? But typically, it's when we're tired. It's when we're asked, something has demanded us, like Mark asking me to sort those spoons. It was like, oh my God, I can't do this. I can't remember where everything is. This is true. But I had fun yesterday. I've got to tell you. It was really fun. I felt really victorious with those spoons. Also, I will share with you, Paul and I did a workshop at APT's International Conference on the Inferior Function in Divorce Recovery. You know what happens when you divorce? The person that, like, for example, used to take care of the checkbook is gone. You know, whatever, in a marriage, we have specialties that one person does, and when there's a separation, something has gone. And we were working on that in terms of the inferior function. When I got a divorce, it was very healing for me. You know what I started doing? It was an economic reason, too. Refinishing old furniture. I got old furniture hand-me-downs from, you know, when you're rebuilding your life. And refinishing that furniture, I've never done that before, is a nice thing, isn't it? It's, you know, making it and you're doing that, very healing. And now I'm gardening. And I think gardening, even though, you know, I don't do it in nice little rows and it's kind of haphazard and mostly the plants take care of themselves, but it's pretty good for me to get my hands in the dirt. So I will say to you, if you can identify your inferior function, it is your pathway to your unconscious life. And if you find yourself in a time when you go, I'm just not myself today. I don't feel like myself at all. This is not me. If you're normally a very feeling, caring kind of person and you just don't give a flip, you are just mad or whatever, say to yourself, I may be in my inferior function, and take care of yourself. A woman in a Paul's workshop talked to me afterward and she said, in their family it's a joke, but one of the daughters, if there's conflict and they need to resolve it, she's got to eat first. You do not talk to her until she has eaten. And then another daughter, she has to have a nap. I mean, if you're going to deal in conflict, this one needs to eat, this one needs to... Well, it's true for us. If you are in your inferior, tend to yourself. Just know. We cannot control our inferior, but we can learn. And the truth is that people do learn this in later life. Like your gentleman probably knows. You get so aware and comfortable with yourself, even if you never knew the Myers-Briggs, that you know when you fall into these moments when you're not acting like yourself, you know it'll pass. You know, don't make any major decision right now. I mean, this is the thing. It is your inferior that has welled up. But I can tell you, watch for those mystical opportunities and see if it's not true for you. But you can't seek those mystical opportunities out. They're going to rise up out of your unconscious and fall on your head. And that will happen.
There's no way you can open yourself more to the inferior function?
You can by doing things like I did, refinishing furniture. May I ask, do you know what your inferior might be?
Feeling.
Feeling? I'm trying to figure out what could you do with feeling? Help me brainstorm. If you're ethereal with feeling, you could write poetry, you could read feeling things, you could try to in an intimate relationship, share more. You're not going to feel comfortable while you're doing it. When I was refinishing that furniture, it was not pretty. No. But it was old, it was cheap, who cared? So if you could find ways to use your feeling function in life, I don't think you can bring on this transcendent peace.
Right.
It's just going to fall, it's going to be the grace of God falls on your head. And let me tell you, people have mystical spiritual experiences much more than they ever share. Everybody seems to think, I must be crazy. You know, I heard Jesus talking to me, or I saw a light, or, you know, Paul, you told me when you were a child, you saw smoke in the room. Smoke in a room that as a child he knew meant some holy presence was in that room. People have these experiences, but we are a very practical nation, and we don't go into these places that are really quite beautiful. And that's why I'm doing this series of workshops today, because I think it helps us in our relationships to be in touch with our unconscious. Don't fight with your husband when you're in your inferior.
Yeah, for me as an INFP, when I'm in my inferior, it's logic for me. It's my inferior function, thinking. So I know when I'm not doing well and I slip into that inferior function, I get more illogical and a little obsessive. And I slip into that, and I know that's when I'm really not doing well at all. That's when I'm not doing well at all.
And
the best I can do is take care of myself, as you say. I know that's just a signal for me to get away, introvert a little bit, rest, whatever I need to do, because it's coming up. At the same time, I've had, as I've shared with you, Jan, I've had transcendent experiences on this own thinking and logic, moments of, to me, in the quiet of the night or in the morning, extreme clarity that I can't really explain because I didn't will it up for myself. But to me, it felt very transcendent. I felt at those times kind of probably closest to God. And it wasn't big feeling, because I do big feeling very well all the time with everybody. You know, I do that.
You know, I said to you very lightly, there's probably nothing you can do, but I, when I practice prayer on a regular basis, we make opportunities, I guess, to find a place to be still in our lives. I don't know. What would you say, Pastor Franz? I'm going to put you on the spot in your place. Do you think we can make ourselves available to God for that kind of thing to happen? Or?
Well, yes.
But God's not going to come.
Thank you,
He's
Pastor
not going to come. You can pray for weeks and nothing happens, seems absent. And then all of a sudden, I mean, it really falls. The mystical falls on your head. It really does. Uh-huh.
I'm very, very heavy on the thinking. Like, I process everything internally before I come anywhere close to contacting or sending it out there at all, you know. So for me, the times when I've really started to have transcendent experiences is a lot more having to do with letting go of all that thinking, you know, that's so much dominating my thought process. When I'm able to let go of that and really focus on a meditative or prayer experience, that's when I have my truly mystical experience.
Makes sense, because you're more dominant is thinking, it sounds like, isn't it?
Yeah.
What is your inferior on this?
Well, I'm not sure I understand this. I'm an INTJ.
INTJ, according to this, the inferior function would be facts. But then
yes,
people,
same.
feeling and people are your tertiary.
And it's hard. It's hard to sometimes differentiate between facts and logic. You know, I mean, when we're talking about sensation, I must say that was very fun and playful stuff at the parade. What wonderful day. Yeah. Oh, that was great, you know, and that was a moment that is very intentionally just having a really good time. Listen, I love to talk type, y'all. I mean, catch me at coffee, you know, sit down, let's talk, because I'll be glad to help you process, because talking to you is fun. It helps me go, oh, that's interesting. I get, you know, your experience into my experience. And let me see what time it is. This is exactly the moment. Is this fortuitous? Y'all, this is the deepest, most difficult concept to get in the Myers-Briggs. And I think you've all done very, very, very well. So I would say to you, if it's interesting, if you want to go deeper, read Naomi Quinn, Beside Ourselves. You know, this is an expression people use. It says, our hidden personality in everyday life is a subtitle. Excellent book. And thank you all so much. Pardon?
Do you know, is that book in the bookstore here?
No. See, Paul and I didn't get any information that we could have suggested, or it would be there right now. And I'm so sorry it's not. But it's from a consulting psychologist for us. I hear Amazon.com's in trouble. what am I going to do without Amazon Pump? Well,
go to Barnes and Noble.
Oh, well, yes, that's true. They'll do anything.
Books
for
a million.
That's true. Thank you all so much. I hope this has been helpful, and I'm very serious. My next workshop tomorrow will be on DreamWorks.